What if you had to replace a critical component in your entire product line? Not in 5 years, but in the next 18 months. That's the reality facing thousands of manufacturers as Europe's ban on forever chemicals goes into effect. It's a regulatory shockwave, forcing a scramble for new materials. This isn't just about compliance, it's about survival. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly strategic briefing for professionals in U.S. and European manufacturing, trading, and technology. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a powerful theme: how aggressive new regulations are a catalyst, forcing rapid innovation in materials and reshaping global supply chains. We'll start with the regulatory hammer coming down on PFAS chemicals in Europe, look at the brilliant innovations emerging in response, and then analyze a major strategic shift in the electric vehicle battery market that Western firms cannot ignore. Troy, let's dive right in. The term PFAS, or forever chemicals, is everywhere. What is the specific development in Europe that businesses need to focus on this week?
The critical deadline is August 2026. The European Commission has confirmed restrictions on PFAS in all food contact packaging. This follows a broader EU-wide ban, supported by the European Chemicals Agency in March. The timeline is now incredibly compressed.
So for a US food company or a packaging manufacturer that sells into the EU, this is an immediate operational crisis. What does it mean for their materials?
It means they must find and qualify alternatives fast. We're seeing a surge in demand for silicone-based coatings, wax systems, and especially bio-based barrier technologies like PLA, polylactic acid, and PHAs. The entire supply chain for these alternatives is about to come under immense pressure.
And for trading companies and distributors, this must be both a massive risk and an opportunity.
Exactly. There's a huge opportunity for distributors who can secure a reliable supply of these compliant materials. They will be in a powerful position. The risk is for anyone holding inventory of PFAS-coated packaging. They need to manage that stock down very carefully. Market timing here is everything.
So, what is the single most important action a Western executive should be taking right now?
Immediately audit your entire packaging supply chain for any exposure to PFAS. You need to identify every product, every supplier. Then begin qualification testing for alternatives like silicone and biobarriers. Now, August 2026 is closer than it appears.
That brings us to the solutions. From Japan, the chemical company Kurare seems to have a direct answer to this packaging dilemma. What have they developed?
They've unveiled EVAL-SC, a new generation of EVOH resin. Its innovation lies in a proprietary technology that imparts a specific orientation between the polymer's glass transition and crystallization temperatures.
Okay, Troy, let's translate that. How does controlling the glass transition temperature help a CPG company that just wants its packaging to work and be recycled-legal?
It allows for controlled delamination. Multi-layer films, which are essential for food preservation, have historically been almost impossible to recycle because you can't separate the different plastic layers. This technology makes that separation process efficient. It's a direct, high-performance replacement for problematic barrier materials like PVDC, improving recyclability without compromising shelf life.
So for a European food manufacturer, this isn't just a new material, it's a potential lifeline to meet new regulations.
Precisely. And critically for their ESG reporting, all of Kurare's EVAL plants are now ISSC Plus certified, guaranteeing the use of renewable and circular feedstocks. This de-risks their packaging strategy from both a regulatory and a sustainability perspective.
What's the move for Western trading companies?
They should be contacting Kurare distributors immediately. Securing a supply of EVAL-SC now could offer their clients a significant competitive advantage over the next 2 years. They need to get the technical data sheets and start educating their customers.
So the actionable insight is for engineers.
Yes, your packaging R&D team should be requesting samples of EVAL-SC and starting trial runs this quarter. This is about actively future-proofing your product lines against the next wave of regulation.
The problem isn't just in packaging. PFAS are used in countless industrial components for their low-friction properties. I saw a development from Germany that tackles this head-on.
You're referring to the work from Fraunhofer ILT and IWM. They've developed a laser-based manufacturing process to apply PFAS-free diamond-like carbon, or DLC, coatings directly onto polymer components.
Diamond-like carbon sounds impressive, but what's the real business case for a manufacturer?
The business case is superior performance and regulatory compliance in one package.
The DLC coating dramatically reduces friction and increases wear resistance on parts like industrial seals, bearings, and elastomer rollers. This extends the component's lifespan, reduces machine downtime, and, most importantly, completely eliminates PFAS.
How does this specifically affect a U.S. manufacturer of, say, high-performance pumps or a European robotics company?
They now have a clear high-performance upgrade path for critical components, especially those made from engineered polymers like PEEK, polyamide, and polypropylene. Where they once relied on a PFAS coating for durability, they can now use a DLC coating that may perform even better and is environmentally sound.
And for a distributor of those specialty components?
This is a new value-added service. Distributors should be looking for partners who can apply these advanced coatings. It's a powerful way to differentiate their product offering to OEMs who are under immense pressure to design PFAS out of their products.
So, the action for an engineering executive?
Identify the most critical wear components in your product portfolio that currently rely on PFAS-based coatings. Your team needs to begin a technical and economic feasibility study on using DLC as a replacement.
Let's shift from the materials to the machines that make the parts. HP is making a significant move into industrial 3D printing. What have they launched?
This is a major development. HP has unveiled the Industrial Filament 3D Printer 600HT. It's their first entry into the Fused Filament Fabrication, or FFF, market, and it's specifically designed to handle high-performance, high-temperature polymers.
We just mentioned PEEK. Is that the kind of material this machine can handle?
Exactly. It's built for the most demanding engineering-grade materials, PEEK, PAEEK, PEI, and carbon fiber-reinforced composites. These are the polymers used for mission-critical parts in aerospace, medical implants, and automotive applications.
What does this mean for a European aerospace supplier or a U.S. medical device manufacturer?
It fundamentally changes the equation for prototyping and low-volume production. Traditionally, making a part from PEEK required very expensive and slow injection mold tooling. Now, they can 3D print a functional, end-use part directly. This collapses development cycles from months to days.
And for a trading company that deals in manufacturing equipment or the raw polymer filaments.
This creates two new opportunities. For equipment distributors, the HP 600HT is a high-value product to offer clients moving into advanced manufacturing. For material suppliers, the demand for high-temperature filaments that are certified for this machine is going to grow substantially.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
Reevaluate your capital expenditure and R&D budgets. Investing in this type of in-house additive manufacturing capability is no longer an experiment. It's a strategic tool that can provide a decisive speed to market advantage.
Finally, let's turn our attention to Asia and the critical electric vehicle supply chain. There's a key technology transfer happening with Asahi Keisei.
Yes, the Japanese chemical giant has signed its first ever licensing agreement in China for its proprietary acetylite electrolyte technology. The partner is HiCam Shanghai.
Why is one licensing deal for a battery chemical so significant globally?
Because the electrolyte is the central nervous system of a lithium-ion battery, governing performance, safety, and lifespan. Acetylite is an advanced formulation designed to improve energy density and stability. By licensing this cutting-edge Japanese tech into China, Asahi Keisei is enabling it to be produced at massive scale, right in the heart of the world's largest EV market.
So, what is the direct competitive threat for U.S. and European automakers and their battery suppliers?
The threat is an acceleration of the technology curve in China. This move could allow Chinese battery manufacturers to close any performance gaps with Western or Korean competitors much faster than anticipated. It puts immense pressure on U.S. and EU cell producers to accelerate their own electrolyte R&D.
And for Western trading companies that source battery components or materials?
They must be aware that a new, higher-performing class of batteries will soon be coming out of China. This could create new sourcing opportunities, but it also demands extreme due diligence on intellectual property, quality control, and traceability of the materials.
What is the single action a CTO at a Western automotive firm should take based on this news?
Immediately benchmark your current and next-generation battery cell performance against the public specifications of acetylite. This still signals the technology is production-ready. You must have a clear strategy to either match its performance through your own R&D or evaluate Asahi Keisei as a potential partner to avoid falling behind.
All right, Troy. A complex week with a clear theme.
What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the PFAS regulatory crackdown in Europe is an immediate catalyst for supply chain transformation. This is not a future problem. It requires action in the current fiscal year. Your risk exposure must be quantified. Second, the solutions are emerging from deep material science and advanced manufacturing. Innovations like CuraRay's recyclable resins and Fraunhofer's laser coatings provide a pathway, but companies must be proactive in testing and adoption.
And third, the global technology chessboard is in motion. HP is enabling more complex manufacturing in the West, but strategic licensing deals, like Asahi Kasei's in China, are rapidly elevating the capabilities of competitors in critical sectors like electric vehicles.
And the core action for executives listening today?
It's a three-part mandate. Audit your regulatory and material vulnerabilities, especially regarding PFAS. Aggressively pilot the new generation of sustainable materials and manufacturing processes. And third, you must intensify your competitive intelligence on technology transfers into Asia. They are a direct indicator of your future competitive landscape.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. Troy, thank you for translating the technical into the tactical.
My pleasure, Susie.
For deeper analysis and links to this week's developments, visit us online at troy-technical-intelligence.com. Join us again next week for your essential briefing on the technology developments that drive global industry. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.